The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit. Track budgets and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Here on Stolen Lives, we discuss brutal and heartbreaking crimes against children. Themes may include child murder, torture, and sexual, domestic, and child abuse. I do try my best to remain respectful for the babies in these stories and leave out unnecessary details that, honestly, none of us need to know to understand the frustration of why and how this ever happened. However, if you find any of these themes triggering, this podcast may not be for you. Listener discretion is advised. January 2010, Sussex, England. Fiona Donison walked into a police station and told officers she had killed her children. Hours earlier, she had smothered 3-year-old Harry and 2-year-old Elise before packing their bodies into duffel bags and locking them in the trunk of her car. Prosecutors calling her actions as using her children's lives as ultimate pawns, driven by a mix of jealousy, rage, and entitlement. This is Harry and Elise's story.
Little Elise Donison is described on an internet site by her mother as her beautiful daughter. The 2-year-old's body was found next to that of her brother Harry, who was 3.
Paul Donison and Fiona would meet in 1999, when they were both working for an insurance company called Lloyd's of London. They were both married at the time, but bonded over their work, that they had 2 young boys, both aged in their 30s, and both in unhappy relationships. At first, Paul and Fiona were purely platonic, allegedly. But then in 2003, when they both found themselves single after their respective marriages ended, they decided to start dating. This relationship would move at breakneck speed because by the summer, Fiona was pregnant. It was a shock, but they both soon came around to having a baby together. And they were ecstatic when they welcomed their daughter into the world, named Mia. Unfortunately, this happiness wouldn't last for long. April 15th, 2004. Paul had gone with his now 2 teenage sons to celebrate his ex-wife's birthday. While he was there, he received a hysterical phone call from Fiona. She had found 8-month-old Mia unresponsive and not breathing. Initially, police were suspicious of Fiona's story about what had happened. Maybe she was so furious at Paul for attending that party that she acted out in the most extreme way possible. But upon further investigation, being unable to find a cause of death for the infant, the medical examiner attributed Mia's death to sudden infant death syndrome, or SIDS as it's most commonly called. And we have spoken about SIDS before on this podcast. SIDS is basically explained by the sudden and unexpected death of an otherwise healthy infant. There was no evidence to suggest anything else had happened, and it was determined Mia's death was just a tragic, horrific accident. The tragedy only brought Paul and Fiona closer. The couple buying a house together, with Paul saying he wanted to be there for Fiona and her boys. Soon after, Fiona would find herself pregnant again, but tragically this pregnancy would result in a miscarriage. And then finally success. Harry Arthur William Donison was born in August 2006. His baby sister was born just over a year later. Elise Sophie Alexandra Donison was born in January 2008. Not much is known about their short lives. They went to nursery, which is similar to a preschool or daycare. Here they were described by caregivers as delightful, well-mannered and affectionate. although Harry did have a mischievous side of him, just like any other gorgeous three-year-old boy. They were a happy and loving family, although there were some stresses. Not everything was perfect. Behind the scenes, they were in debt, and not just with their $500,000 home mortgage. Fiona loved to live this extravagant lifestyle, racking up an additional several thousand dollars of debt, and she would actually make Paul feel bad that he wasn't making more money, instead belittling him, and she would call herself the breadwinner. This was almost her entire personality. Although Fiona and Paul were never married, at some point, Fiona took it upon herself to change her surname by deed poll to Donison. This was without discussing the changes with Paul. He was caught completely by surprise. September 1st, 2009. The family returned from a vacation to Ireland, and Paul went straight back to work. Fiona had lost her job just prior to their vacation, so she was planning on staying home with Harry and Elise for a few extra days before they would return to nursery, and Fiona would commence her new job search. However, that afternoon, Paul would get home from work and everyone was gone. Personal belongings were missing. Fiona had taken her two teenage sons, three-year-old Harry and two-year-old Elise, and moved out, without telling Paul she was leaving him, only leaving behind a note reading, "For the sake of the children, I feel I have no choice but to move out." We are just going to take a quick break now for a word from one of our sponsors.
The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them, so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app, with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Paul would repeatedly call Fiona, begging her to come back to the home, or at the very least, let him see their children. Fiona wouldn't even tell them where they went, vaguely suggesting they had gone to Scotland, telling Paul they had gone someplace he would never find them. However, her secret wouldn't stay secret for long, especially when Paul discovered Fiona had moved with the children to the same neighbourhood Paul's ex-wife was living with their two boys, Lightwater, Surrey. Paul and Fiona decided they were going to give their relationship another shot for the children, Fiona even agreeing to move everyone back to the family home. But at the same time, Fiona became jealous of a female friend of Paul's. Paul had recently reconnected with an old school friend, Alison, and Fiona did not like the two of them hanging out, even though Paul insisted things between them were completely friendly only, that there were no romantic feelings there. Fiona would then only let Paul see the children on her terms. Basically, if he followed the rules, it was all okay. But if he didn't, Fiona would withhold the children. Quote, "She was controlling things. I felt like Fiona was playing a game with me. If I didn't do what she said, or if she didn't have control of me, the children were the key." Unquote. Paul would later describe Fiona during his testimony as a good mother, and that she kept a lovely home, but that she also suffered from severe mood swings. She would be nice, very pleasant, and a loving mother, and then the next day, manipulative, antagonistic, and confrontational. You never knew which Fiona you were going to get. Enough was enough for Paul, and he called time for good on his and Fiona's relationship on January 14th, 2010. This only further enraged Fiona, and she wanted to make Paul pay. She wanted what the prosecution would later call during the criminal trial as the ultimate revenge. Now, maybe some of the jealousy Fiona had between Paul and Alison may have been warranted, because only days after the final separation, they would start a relationship. However, Paul has been adamant this did not begin until he and Fiona officially ended their relationship. January 24th, 2010. Paul returned from an overseas business trip and went to Fiona's home to see the kids. He had some gifts for them, Fiona telling him that they were about to go to bed but he could see them quickly. Paul gave them a gift each and got to kiss them goodnight and tuck them into bed. All the while, Fiona was standing just behind them with what Paul would later describe a look of pure hatred, that she looked evil and resentful and left him feeling rather uneasy. January 26, 2010. Fiona went to court to make an appeal for an occupancy order to force Paul out of the family home. Now, this isn't an immediate thing that can be approved. There is a procedure involved, and Paul gets to have his say as well in court. It's not like the sheriff goes to the front door and drags Paul out of the house, kicking and screaming. I think Fiona was expecting that because she left the courthouse in a distressed emotional state. At some point that evening, Fiona drove her silver Nissan to two supermarkets where she bought sleeping pills, before then driving to Heathfield, parking around the corner of the former family home on Sheepsetting Lane. And here she waited. The very next day, January 27, 2010, 10:45 a.m, Fiona Donison walked into Heathfield Police Station in East Sussex. She had apparent superficial self-harm injuries, Fiona telling the officer on duty she had a confession, that she had killed her two children, smothering them in their sleep the night before with their bedding. When police searched Fiona's vehicle parked outside of the police station, here in the trunk they found the bodies of 3-year-old Harry and 2-year-old Elise, each zipped up inside separate duffel bags. An autopsy was conducted at King's College Hospital in London, and this supported Fiona's confession. Cause of death for the children was determined to be due to asphyxiation. Time of death estimated to be less than 24 hours since their discovery.
It's a tragedy, deeply saddening for all involved, particularly the family. It's a huge tragedy, the death of two. Deep tragedy for everyone concerned. And also, not only for the family, but, you know, our local community here, a huge impact on our local community, which is a reason why we've got so many officers out here currently, you know, Heathfield, a very nice location. So an awful lot of effort's going in to try and reassure our local community, because, as I've mentioned previously, we're not looking for anyone else involved in this incident.
This neighbour is shocked.
Dreadful, dreadful. I mean, it was evident that something very serious, but no news until the news last night. So. And it just leaves you thinking, well, had you noticed anything? Might it have been different, but didn't. So it's just very, 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 very sad.
Fiona was transported to Eastbourne District General Hospital for her injuries in a stable condition. A few days later, she would be placed under arrest and charged in connection with her children's deaths. A family friend would later tell the news media that Paul had expressed his concerns to police prior to Harry and Elise being killed. He was worried about Fiona's mental stability and their children's safety while they were with her. Fiona had also been trying to stop Paul from seeing Harry and Elise without her control. She would make an alleged false accusation to police that Paul had assaulted her, resulting in Paul being arrested and a protection order being granted. She would also tell this story to the director of the nursery the children attended, so Paul couldn't pick them up. The prosecution would later argue during the criminal trial that it was when Fiona's attempts to destroy Paul's life weren't proving successful. That's when she plotted to kill the children instead. Fiona had felt like Paul rejected her and had begun a new relationship with someone else. That he had moved on and forgotten about her with a woman she was already very jealous of. Even though Fiona had admitted to being responsible for killing Harry and Elise, the prosecution still needed to work out a timeline of how the children got to be in the trunk of her car. On the evening of January 26, 2010, between the hours of 5 and 6 p.m, Fiona was travelling on the highway in the direction of her home in Lightwater. At 6:16 p.m, the residence alarm system was shut off. At 9:20 p.m, it was turned back on. 10 minutes later, Fiona was seen on CCTV camera at a local Sainsbury's supermarket, buying multiple bottles of painkillers and sleeping pills. 15 minutes after that, Fiona was seen at a Tesco, buying more painkillers and water. By 11:05 p.m, Fiona's phone had been turned off. Based on this and the autopsy reports, it is believed that between 6:16 and 9:20 p.m, while she was at the home, this was when she killed Harry and Elise by smothering them with their pillows. When she had driven to both the stores, Harry and Elise's bodies had been in the trunk of her car. From here, she went to the family home in Heathfield, where Paul was still living, and she parked her car around the corner. The prosecution would later argue she had parked the car there, not in the driveway, because she wanted the element of surprise when she attacked Paul. That she had the plans of killing him with two large kitchen knives she also had in the car. Fiona entered the home through an open window and waited for Paul to return. However, luckily for Paul, he was spending the night with his new girlfriend and he did not return. Again, with what the prosecution would argue, she had the intention of killing him and then pinning the deaths of the children on him. Even just a week before the children were killed, Fiona would tell the police as part of her protection order request that Paul had said to her, quote, "If I cannot have my children, I have nothing to live for. So I'm going to kill you now. We can go together," unquote. The morning after she killed her children, Fiona had swallowed an excessive amount of painkillers and had cut herself with a knife in an apparent suicide attempt. That's when she walked into the police station to confess to Harry and Elise's murders. A suicide note was later found in Fiona's purse, addressed to her two teenage sons, quote, "By the time you have received this, I will have gone to be with Harry, Elise and Mia. I am sorry I won't be there to see you grow up. I loved you all more than life itself. Please remember all the good times we had. I will watch over you in heaven. I am so sorry that Paul made our lives so miserable. He was a bad choice for all of you. I will always love you forever." Unquote. Fiona was treated in hospital for her apparent suicide attempt. One night, a nurse heard her say, quote, "Harry, where are you? Peekaboo. I'm going to kill you." Unquote. Fiona pled guilty to her charges, claiming she was mentally ill at the time of the crime, that she didn't know what she was doing. Her defence arguing that in the months prior to killing Harry and Elise, Fiona had been under an extreme amount of stress. She had been laid off from her job and suspected she was being cheated on. And then one day, she just snapped. The defence arguing she was only acting under an immense amount of stress and was mentally unstable. And because of that, Fiona's defence team tried to get her charges downgraded to manslaughter. Prosecutors dismissed this, pointing to the level of planning that had gone into the murders. They also pointed to the fact that after Fiona had arrived at the mental health facility, she joined in on the activities and borrowed books from the library. All of this suggesting that Fiona wasn't suffering from an extreme level of depression. Fiona also claimed that she had amnesia and could not remember killing her children. However, unlike other patients with her apparent condition, Fiona seemed to have no trouble finding her way around the facility. Therefore, the prosecution believed that Fiona was 100% feigning her psychological symptoms. Now, Paul would give evidence during Fiona's trial, and he would say she was almost playing a game with him in the weeks leading up to their children's deaths, only allowing him to see Harry and Elise on her terms, that his friendship with Alison blossomed, and he saw what a healthy relationship looked like. That's when he knew he and Fiona were over. He didn't want to be manipulated and moved around anymore. At the end of the trial, Fiona Donison was found guilty of murdering 3-year-old Harry and 2-year-old Elise. She was sentenced to a minimum of 32 years imprisonment. Judge Mr. Justice Nicol described the killings as deliberate and wicked acts. Quote, "The premature end of such young lives would have been a tragedy. But this was no accident. You killed them. You who were their mother. Why you did this defies logical explanation. It seems it could only have something to do with your feelings for the children's father." Unquote. After Fiona's sentencing, it was revealed that prosecutors tried to also have Fiona charged for murder of her first child, Mia. Following Harry and Elise's deaths, investigators decided to take another look at the circumstances surrounding Mia's death. Prosecutors said there was significant evidence for jurors to consider a murder charge in this case. But at the pre-trial hearing, the judge ruled to dismiss the charge. that there was no direct evidence in relation to the baby's death. We are just going to take a quick break now for a word from one of our sponsors.
I didn't even realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a back seat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
March 18th, 2010. Harry and Elise Donison's funeral took place at Mortlake Crematorium in Richmond, southwest London. They were buried together in a double coffin, coloured in half pink and half blue, and was decorated with white moons and stars. Two teddy bears at the top of the coffin, again coloured with one blue and one pink, one for each of the siblings. The children's father, Paul, read a poem as part of the eulogy, a poem called They Are Gone, finishing with the words, quote, "Good night, Harry and Elise, until I see you again, Dad," unquote. Harry and Elise would later be described by those who knew and loved them as happy and friendly children. They were each other's best friends. Caregivers from the nursery the siblings attended described Harry and Elise as delightful, well-mannered and affectionate. If you have your own thoughts and theories on the story we discussed today, or any stories we talk about here on Stolen Lives, please search Stolen Lives Podcast on Facebook, like the page so you don't miss an episode, and join the Stolen Lives discussion group to talk about your thoughts and theories. You can also talk to us on Instagram, Stolen Lives Podcast. If you like what you heard today, we would appreciate it if you share this episode on your social media of choice, and subscribe and leave a positive review on your podcast app. Today's episode was researched and written by me, Ali. Hosting and production was also by me, Ali. Music is by Mayu.